No, I'm gay. Can you believe? Brown cow.
You're a homosexual.
I care about you.
Go, baby. I just
no,
do
I'm not going.
It's done.
We're here. We're queer, and we'll never die.
It's us.
It's us.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, we're here.
So
I'm Patrick, that's Ruby. This is It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. Ruby is back from a brief one show hiatus because she was busy being a gamer guy who cheated on his gamer girl wife.
So I don't know if we can actually talk about that. Last week I was busy because I am one of the three directors of the University of Sydney's Queer Review, and last week was our show week, and we had three sold out shows, and it was amazing, and everybody was so funny.
I would just like to say that me and Donatarchi did give you a shout out on air on Friday.
Thank you for that.
So I think we contributed to that, and we will look forward to getting the commission.
Oh, I didn't get paid.
I know.
Yeah.
We would like money, though.
Neither will you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Big shout out to Donatarchi for filling in for Ruby last week. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Donatarchi.
Sweet angel baby.
For helping us out.
Friend of the show. Friend of the us.
Friend of the us.
Fun fact, me and Ruby today are wearing matching jumpers.
I'm convinced that Patrick is has a secret tiny drone that follows me around at all times and has done this on purpose.
I haven't. I mean, it's cold and it goes with the rest of my outfit. It's Pop 2, Charlie XCX, Track 10.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I do have a tiny drone following you, but it's for different
reasons. Yeah, it's for different reasons, yeah. Of course. So, yeah, we're both wearing our Pop 2 jumpers. It's very cute. I'll give us that. I'll throw us a bone.
Yeah. And I would say we're doing very well for two co-workers who are obliged to be here but are not friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not friends. Patrick has multiple times made it very, very clear to me that we are not friends, which I think is a very healthy way to look at our relationship as co-workers.
I have never explicitly said we are not friends until literally just now.
Okay.
We are deeply in love.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that, sure. I'll throw a dog a bone. Black sheep. Throw a dog a bone. Is that the song?
E-I-E-I-E-I-O.
Patrick follows me with a drone. okay, we've got a very cool show lined up. We've got Brody from Crucible Tattoo coming. Is it Crucible or Crucible?
Crucible.
Anyway.
It's Crucible.
Crucible. We've got Brody from Crucible Tattoo coming onto the show to chat to us about tattooing and Crucible being kind of a queer safe space.
Which is really fun in the tattoo business. And I say that having many of them on my arm.
Yeah. So it's very important.
Very important.
Getting tattooed is a very, I feel like it's a very intimate process.
I mean, someone is literally stabbing you with a needle that's putting things into your body.
Exactly. And so we'll also be showcasing some new releases from some queer artists from around the world.
Quartists.
And this first track is called Keep On Coming by Gia Woods.
I'm sorry.
You should be. Keep On Coming by Gia Woods, and you're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3.
Stay Gucci, everyone.
Stay Gucci.
I'm the drug you've been curious about. You wanna get high, wanna get high.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. I'm Patrick, and that's Ruby, and we're about to interview someone very special and important. And it's about tattoos, which are ink things that go into your skin holes. So, I don't know about you, but I am... Since I was 18, I started getting tattoos, and it has become a deep problem in my life because I keep wanting to get more, and I do not have the money to do that a lot.
But before we talk about that, what you just heard was Over You by Jake Germain. Great song, great song. And yeah, well, I think it's about time we talk to the lovely Brody from Crucible Tattoo. Thank you so much for joining us, Brody.
My pleasure.
Now, first things off the bat, what do you reckon kind of separates a queer tattoo studio from other tattoo studios?
Well, firstly, queers.
Yep.
So, our studio is owned and run by queers, started by queers. Not everyone who works in our studio is queer.
Yeah.
So, but it still defines the space that we've created. So, I think there's just a shared experience there and a shared understanding of what it means to be marginalized for your gender or sexuality that allows us to make a space in which people don't feel like they need to hide a part of themselves. So whether that's just in small ways, like the fact that our consent forms ask for pronoun, you know, a lot of people, that's the first time they've really been asked in a setting like that, and that can be really affirming. It also allows us to treat them in a way that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other bigger things as well. You know, like we get clients coming in who are like, who talk about having tried to get, for example, a chest tattoo. And when people at that studio have seen the scars from maybe like top surgery or something like that, it changed the vibe and they've been uncomfortable. So really we just try and create a space, yeah, where people don't. People can just be who they want to be.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for, yeah.
That's really important, absolutely. So how else do you think you kind of create a queer safe space through, like, your service and style?
Well, yeah, like I said, there's sort of little things like the, well, you know, it seems like a little thing, but for people who don't fit into a binary gender or who aren't immediately read as the gender that they identify with, it can be a huge thing, something like pronouns. But I think even just beyond that, people come into the space, they know what our values are and what our ideology is, so they can have a certain expectation of safety. For example, you know, partners who are getting matching tattoos who don't have to pretend to be friends. You know, stuff like that.
I love that.
I think even just how explicit we are with our values and our objectives, I think people can just come into the space a bit more relaxed rather than having to suss it out first. So, yeah, and I think even just the fact that we hire queers and a lot of the artists who work in our studio, myself included, particularly myself and Adam, who goes by Disinhibition, we use a lot of queer imagery and, like, queer iconography in our work, or, you know, we subvert sort of traditional tropes.
Yeah.
In a way that queers them, stuff like that. I think people just really appreciate that they can expect some level of understanding and shared experience from that. So, yeah.
Oh, amazing. So with your sort of the studio, diversity seems to be sort of a key aspect of that. What would you say that this intersectionality, do you think that should be found in more sort of like tattoo spaces or like just queer spaces in general, like more diversity in terms of intersectionality?
Absolutely. And it's an ongoing process for us as well. Like, I honestly think that, you know, our studio could be a whole lot more diverse. You know, we could have a lot more people of colour working at the studio, for example. As it is, the industry at the moment is going through a lot of change, which is really, really exciting. But there's the wider cultural context. You know, like we live in heteronormative white supremacy. So
yeah,
that's sort of the context that we're working within. But we do make an effort, you know, it's not really my place to talk about the racism the Fantasy Artist Experience, but it is something that impacts their livelihood and even just getting into the industry. So even myself, as a white person, trying to get into the industry, even before I transitioned, I was denied an apprenticeship because in quote, "Mom made, I got two chicks at home, I don't need another one." So even just getting into the industry when you aren't, you know, what's already represented is really, really hard. So we've basically tried our best to sort of find people who are maybe like starting out or struggling to sort of get a foot in the door and sort of offering more training and stuff like that. So in that sense, we've tried to invest more in artists who don't look like what's generally represented. And so I think that's why maybe you see a bit more diversity in our studio. But like I said, there's so much further to go. But I honestly think, you know, if intersectionality doesn't have a place in creativity, then I don't think it's that creative, because if we're just going along with the status quo, then we're upholding it, and there's nothing creative in that. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, what are your customers like? Like, what do your customers like typically want when they walk through the door?
Well, for starters, we don't really have a typical type of customer. We get a lot of different people.
Right.
It's especially changed over the years. At the start, people didn't really know so much that we were a queer studio. So we got a different mix than we get now. It's really exciting to see more queer people coming into our studio because they've heard about us, word of mouth, and stuff like that. But we still get a huge variety of people. You know, we get a lot of locals, people who are just coming for the quality of our artists and anything like that. So, but yeah, I would say we cater more queers than other studios would.
Absolutely.
So that would probably be, if I could make any generalization about our clients, generally queer. Other than that, they couldn't be more different from each other.
I mean, Ruby was saying just before the interview started, like, being tattooed is a very intimate process.
It's such an intimate process.
So, if, as a queer person, I would personally feel a lot more comfortable having another queer person or an ally tattooing me than I would someone who wasn't necessarily.
Yeah,
there is so much vulnerability inherent in that intimacy as well, because not only do you have the physical intimacy, but there's all the vulnerability of pain. There's the vulnerability of markings on the body. You know, if you have a negative experience getting that tattoo, it doesn't matter how good the tattoo is, it's always going to make you feel bad looking at it. So, yeah, it's so, so crucial that that be like a positive and nurturing space. And my practice in particular, I have tried really hard to make it informed by trauma, informed by consent. And all those things to try and make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, because I think when it comes to, like, something as intimate as tattooing as well, like, I feel like kind of gaining that trust and that intimacy would definitely range between different queer people, because there are people, I'd say there are definitely people who are more visibly queer, and because of that, they may have a different experience when getting a tattoo. So, you know, having like a tattoo studio full of queer artists is really fantastic and amazing.
Even just the fact that we can get people request like an outrageously flamboyantly gay tattoo and just be like, pick your best artist, you know, whoever wants to do it. Just, you know, being able to do that and know that you're not going to get a weird negative response, I think is really exciting for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And it means we get to do some amazingly cooked camp stuff. Yeah. Which is so exciting.
And I've seen that one of your artists is actually one of my favourite tattoo artists, Gemma Flack.
Oh, yeah. Gemma's fantastic.
What's it like working with Gemma? Their art is just incredible.
Their art is fantastic. You know, I'm actually probably the worst person to ask about that, because Gemma and I are mostly ships in the night, unfortunately.
Oh,
we've worked a little
no.
different days, but we have been getting to know each other a bit better recently, and yeah, such a pleasure. They tattooed me recently, actually, with a little candy heart on my ankle that says "slut" in it with some sparkles on it.
Oh, so, I love that.
Fantastic, yeah. They're a total sweetheart.
I love that. Now, y'all at Crucible Tattoo do vegan tattoos, yeah?
Yeah.
What is that process?
Yeah. I think people talk a lot about vegan tattoos and, you know, who can do a vegan tattoo. The reality is that the majority of the tattooing process is vegan already, depending on, you know, how to the letter you want to get, if you want to, you know, count plastic as vegan, because, you know, I mean, the ethical implications just, they're just like a fractal. You can just keep going forever. But for the most part, most tattoo inks these days are vegan. We use petroleum jelly, you know, mostly like plastics and stuff like that. So doing it vegan is generally pretty easy. Sometimes there's products in the stencil paper, so we just use a different kind of stencil paper. Mm. The main thing for me is that I prefer to offer natural aftercare products, which usually have beeswax in them. So if people are vegan, then I just recommend them back to the more mainstream sort of pharmaceutical aftercare products. But yeah, there's not much of a difference, you know.
Mm.
All the inks are sort of alcohol-based and stuff these days, so...
Right.
Well, I imagine even the small touches for people who are vegan and sort of use vegan makeup products, stuff like that, it would be very important for them to make sure their tattoo is also vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially something that's going into your body. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we have quite a number of vegan people working at the studio, and I've been vegan in the past. And yeah, there's actually not really much in the tattoo process or much in the materials that I've sort of incidentally been using that contains animal products. So yeah, generally if people mention it, it might mean using a different kind of stencil paper, but other than that, the process is generally pretty animal free.
Amazing. Now a final question. Now I know that your studio is located in Melbourne. And I think probably a fair few of our listeners are from Sydney. So do you know of any of the artists at your studio who may be coming to Sydney for guest tattooings?
I actually I got back 2 weeks ago from spending a month in Sydney doing a guest spot. Unfortunately, doing guest spots in New South Wales since 2012 has become a lot more difficult.
Really?
The licensing is just, I won't go into it because it is extremely tedious. But yeah, it's actually quite difficult for Victorian artists to legally work in New South Wales if they don't see it so much. But like I said, I just spent a month working in a studio in Leichhardt called Little Art, which is a great studio that I worked at on the recommendation of a trans regular client that I have. And that studio there is very welcoming of queer folk. I felt very comfortable there. So in Sydney, Little Art is awesome on Norton Street.
Amazing.
And I also worked at FLP in Newcastle, which is Friendship Love Tattoo, I believe.
Yeah.
Sorry if I got it wrong. and they're fantastic as well. Really great. Great crew of women running it. Yeah, both those studios are run by women. And yeah, they're fantastic. But I'll definitely be up again before the end of the year, I reckon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brody. It's been really awesome having you on the show.
Yeah, no worries.
And that was Brody from Crucible Tattoo in Melbourne talking to us about, the fact that Crucible's a queer-friendly tattoo studio run by queers for queers. We love.
We love that.
We love that. We really love it.
We love it. We very much do love it. Well, first of all, thank you very much for Brody for coming on. Now I just want more skin drawings.
Yeah.
And I'm going down to Melbourne in June, so I might pop by Crucible.
You should go to Gemma. I love Gemma. I'm on the record. I'm saying it. I've been following Gemma on Instagram for a while, and their tattoos are so cute.
They're so cute.
I love them.
I mean, I have come to realize that all my tattoos are done by women thus far.
It's because Gemma's non-binary,
mm-hmm.
So like. Maybe you can go try something a little different.
I know. But I do like cute things.
Yeah.
I do have cute tattoos.
They do have a lot of really, really cute works. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, we might squeeze another little song in before.
A little ditty?
Maybe. How do you feel about ditties?
I feel about ditties the same way I do about titties. Love them.
You're a fan?
I'm a fan.
You're a fan of those?
I am a fan of those. Aesthetically, not necessarily practically.
Practically, maybe not.
Maybe not, but maybe not. I do enjoy a pair of big naturals. Also a pair of small naturals.
There's something I just really hate about that. I love it and hate it. Big naturals.
Big naturals? I mean, you should understand because, like, you can't even play the piano because big naturals.
I can't play the piano.
Gaming, impossible.
Yeah, I can't game. I can't play the piano. I can barely carry things.
The only way Ruby can ever play her favorite game, Modern Warfare 2, on the Xbox 360
is wearing the esports gamer dress. It's a very good dress. That's all I've got to say about that.
I did try and find one for her birthday. It's very difficult to find.
They are very goofy, I will say. But with that, we've run out of time. Thank you so much to our producers, Mike and Rhiannon, for all their help. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic. We love our boys. We hope they have a really great show. Mwah, 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 mwah. We're kissing them through the studio. Mwah, mwah. It's beautiful. We love it. Stay tuned next week. We'll be doing something just as great as we did this week.
Or better. Or maybe even a little bit worse.
Maybe even worse. And tonight Patrick and I are gonna go see Detective Pikachu. And it's gonna be a really fun time seeing.
We're gonna get novelty cups.
We are. I mean, like, one novelty cup.
Oh, is
that
only one novelty cup?
Maybe you can buy one, probably.
But I try.
We'll figure it out. We'll go halvesies in it. This has been It's a Gay Era on 2SER 107.3.
Sip for sip.
My name's Ruby.
Two straws.
My name's Ruby.
One ear each.
My name's Ruby.
That's nice.
My name is Ruby.
My name's Patrick.
And we are going now. Good night.
Bye.
And this is Please Don't Fall in Love by Vincent.
Feels like another life. So many wasted fights. Was it a waste of time? Maybe we're right. Maybe I. It don't matter now, cause you're gone. If we're the reason why we can't seem to find someone else to hold our love. You can drive off in his car, kiss his lips inside a bar, fall asleep inside his arms. But please don't take him to a spot. Hold him like me in the dark, tell him that he's all you want. Just please don't. Like you're a part of me, but the only thing that bothers me, babe, is I can't stop thinking.